Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
That was a very assertive good evening there. You're all in good form tonight. That was wonderful, wasn't it? Just spectacular to hear those stories. It gives great glory to God, and it raises faith in the room, you know, for people who may be a wee bit cynical or don't know whether that still happens today, or they've never seen God do it themselves, so they're not 100% sure. You know, it raises your faith to actually hear stories from people standing in front of you who are not delusional, most of them anyway, are not delusional, and can actually testify to that, and you can see them. It's just incredible. And also that ordinary people, in fact, all of us are ordinary anyway, by the way, but some of us have an idea that there are some folk who are good at this, or they're professionals, or they're in the clergy or something like that. And there's no doubt about it, some people are used in various ways more than others. But the Bible actually says that anyone who believes can pray for the sick and lay hands on people. That's what Jesus said. I'm not going to argue with him, I hope. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 103. We're going to pray just before we share some thoughts from Scripture. And don't worry, I'll not keep you all night or anything. But as we pray, there's a couple of people I want to pray for. One has been going around various prayer circles about a child that has been in a tragic accident. I'm not going into details. We need to pray for that child in surgery and the mother. And then we had a bit of a miracle in our own little church community where we had someone very seriously ill. I was preparing for a funeral last week, and tragic situation. And this time last week, they were in intensive care on a ventilator. And this week, they were joining us by FaceTime in our church gallery. So God really answered prayer. But this person texted me tonight to ask prayer for somebody they met who's 42 years of age, a young man called Stuart. And he's only been given weeks to live. He's cancer all through him. He's not a Christian. He has three children and a partner. And he's just devastated. And I might have an opportunity to visit him tomorrow. I value prayer for that. But I want to pray for Stuart. I want to pray for this little family. Will you pray for yourself? Whatever your need is tonight. You know, I hope that you can sense the faith. But the Holy Spirit's presence in both the praise and just the He's here, and he's not just a feeling or an emotion. And feeling an emotion is not wrong, by the way, and he can work through that. But it's more than that. It's a kind of something that's very hard to articulate and put your finger on and describe. But if you're open, you will sense that there's something different. Some of you are here tonight, and you've gone to church regularly or some place of worship, but you're detecting there's something different here tonight. And it's not that there's anything more special about us or anything like that, on the contrary, but we're trying to be open to the Lord and what he wants to do, and let him have his way and not have our own agendas, and be open to the Holy Spirit. And it's a bit of a secret maybe, but not every place of worship is open to the Holy Spirit, even some of them that claim to be. And I know I sound like I'm being facetious, but that's the truth. I mean, the Bible talks about a church, Revelation chapter 3, isn't it, where Jesus is standing outside the door knocking, looking in, and it's his own church. So that's the way Jesus talked. I'm not saying anything out of turn. But we want to welcome him tonight here to have his way. So would you do that even in your life? And Ian encouraged you in the opening prayer. Open your heart already to Jesus. See what he does before I even share anything. So, Father, we thank you for the praise. We thank you inhabit the praises of your people. We thank you just for the sense of victory and triumph in a humble and yet confident way, that we have this blessed assurance that, Lord, we know you as Father, and Jesus is our Savior, and the Holy Spirit lives within us and has brought the very life of God in us. And, Lord, we don't want to puke people, and we don't want to shove things upon people in any intrusive way, but we want them to know the peace and the joy and the the satisfaction of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we pray tonight people would experience that. We pray that people will have their own testimony of healing from what they hear and from God touching them. And Lord, that tonight would be a special night. We thank you for your angelic help. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is here with us. And we say, Lord, have your way. And Holy Spirit, glorify the Lord Jesus for the Father's sake. Amen. And Lord, I forgot to pray for those two folks. Lord, we pray for Stuart. You'll save his soul and you'll heal his body. And you'll save his whole family. And we pray for that little child that you'll help the surgeons and save her life, Lord. And help her mommy at this time, we pray, and the whole family. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Psalm 103, this is familiar to a lot of you. And I want to speak to you tonight on the benefits of belonging. Verse 1, my soul bless the Lord, and all that is within me bless his holy name. My soul bless the Lord, and do not forget all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. Amen. The benefits of belonging. Now, when I'm talking about benefits, I don't want you to think of, you know, how we use that term in modern senses at times, like the benefit system. You know what that is. You know, you need help with your disabilities or disadvantages in your life. It's different from that. I'm not talking about like the benefits of a deal that you might enter into or sign the dotted line where you get some perks or hidden benefits. Those aren't the benefits I'm talking about. And it's not the same as being a member of an organization. When you're a member of an organization, it entitles you to certain advantages. I'm not talking about the benefits of networking connections. And some of you who are in business know what that is. You know, where you get to know people in order to climb the ladder and gain promotions. All those kind of understandings of benefits are what we call transactional. Do you understand what I mean by that? They're not relational. And even the ones that are semi-relational, networking, are transactional. They're a means to an end. They're utilitarian. They're for a purpose. And transactional, if you like, is functional. Or it's business-like. It can be even legal. You know, it's clinical and cold. As I said, you're in it for what you get out of it. It's a means to an end. But Christianity and life in God is not transactional. And unfortunately, very often we approach it that way. What I mean is that we're in it for what we can get out of it. We want the benefits. But rather, we need to think of Christianity as truly relational. It's all about knowing God. Okay? Now, we'll see tonight there are benefits of belonging. But it's got to do with the relationship. Because ultimately, and I think immediately I'm speaking to some people in the gathering this evening, because this is common to all humanity. Everybody's looking for love. And God is love. So it means that we're actually looking for God. Even the atheists who doesn't believe in him, they're agnostic, that doesn't know. They, when they look and strive for love, even human love, they don't realize they're looking for God. Because God has made us that way to look for love in order to look for him. And everybody is looking for their Father. And I've said that to you before. But they're looking for their Father. Father God. And sometimes people go into promiscuous relationships and get involved in all sorts of weird stuff. But ultimately it's simply because they're trying through human relationships to satisfy that longing for the Father God in their life. Because God made us to have a relational encounter with him. He wants a relationship with us. So it's more, rather than transactional, it's more like an inheritance. The benefits of belonging. It's not a good deal. It's not the perks of being a member in the church of God. It's more like actually the inheritance of when you become a child of God and you just get everything that your father has. You with me? A child does not need to earn inheritance, or at least they should not need to earn inheritance. Inheritance comes by virtue of the relationship. Do you understand? Turn with me to John chapter 1 if you have a Bible. If not, just listen to this. John 1, verse 12 and 13. It's talking about how Jesus came to his own Jewish people, but they wouldn't receive him as the Messiah. But in verse 12 it says, to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. To everyone who received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they had the right now to be called sons and daughters of God. And this was a birth from above. It wasn't affected by a man's decision, your decision, or your father's decision who bore you and begot you. But it's not a fleshly thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's not an earthly allegiance. It's a heavenly birth where you actually become a child of God when he breathes life into you, when you receive Christ as your Savior. This is relational, not transactional. A lot of our religion is just transactional. The Protestant kind, the Catholic kind, and all the others in the spectrum. Very often people fall into the mistake of they treat church just like a service. And I say that tongue in cheek. It's like a conveyor belt. I put in the money or put in the prayers or put in the penance or put in whatever it is I have to do the work and I get the benefits out. That is not Christianity. That is not our God. Our God is interested in a relationship with you. He wants to be your father. Jesus Christ wants to be your rescuer, your savior, your healer, your deliverer, and your friend. He wants you to inherit the benefits of belonging to him, being a part of his family. Romans 8:17 says, if we're children of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know what that means? That means you get what's in the Father's will if you're an heir. You inherit what's in the Father's will. You get what Jesus gets coming to him by being the Son of God. Isn't that incredible? In fact, I'm reminded of the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son. Do you remember him? And he was grumping and moping because the young fellow had been forgiven. He had wasted his inheritance on prostitutes and alcohol and partying, and he had nothing left. And then we hit rock bottom and came home, and his father received him and threw a party for him. The elder brother was raging. He says, I have never broken any of your commandments. Did everything I told you. I've worked my socks off for you, and you never threw a party for me. He was in the father's house, but he'd never seen into the father's heart. And you know what the father turned around and said to him? All that I had was yours. That's it. The benefits of belonging. And he was in the Father's house. You could be in the Father's house. You could be going to church all the time. But you've never seen into the Father's heart. You've never seen the benefits of what it is to truly know that you belong, that God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior and you're secure in him. Boy, this is what I want to share with you. First of all, from verse 1, we have a lot to be thankful for. If you're in relationship with God tonight, you can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name, because we've a lot to be thankful for. And often when things are going well, we're thankful. Isn't that right? But when things aren't going so well, we turn to God for help. Do you understand? Do we acknowledge the good things in our lives when we have them? The Bible says we need to know where those good things are from. Now, I don't know how bad things are for you here tonight, and I'm sure if you're at a healing meeting, there's a lot of people that aren't well and have issues that they want to bring to God. But even with those on your heart and consciousness this evening, there's a lot of blessings in our lives too. Are you thankful for those? You got to know where they're from. James 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from God. There used to be an old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. That's so true. We actually need to be cognizant of the many good things that are in all of our lives. Very often there are negative strongholds of the mind that are keeping us captive because we are focusing on the negative rather than the positive blessings in our lives. And it's true to say many of us are the happiest when we're talking about our problems. And I'm not being funny. I'm being serious. Many of us are kind of getting a bit of a kick inside. We're feeling something in us when we're talking about our problems. And we need to change our perspective. And I'm the worst at this at times. So I'm talking and preaching to myself. When things aren't going well, I need to practice thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 in the New Testament says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Some of you might be here tonight and thinking, what's God's will for my life? What does he want me to have as a career? Who does he want me to marry? Where does he want me to live? Etc., etc. Here's one thing that you can absolutely assure is God's will for your life. Thankfulness. He says it categorically. I'm telling you, it will change your whole perspective. Do not underestimate the power of thankfulness. Even science and psychology is telling us the power of thankfulness these days. UCLA Health says, practicing gratitude, I'm quoting them, 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week, for at least 6 weeks, can enhance mental wellness and possibly promote a lasting change in your perspective. That's why we're seeing an explosion of gratitude journals, gratitude jars, you know, where you write down wee things you're thankful for in the day, you put it in the jar, and then you read it all at the end of the week. Some psychologists are telling us 3 times a day you should write down things, or 3 things a day that you're thankful for. But they're tapping into this because they see there's a power in it. The Bible's talking about this for thousands of years before. What is it? That there is power in praise and thanks. Proverbs 18:21 says, there is life and death in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. What is the fruit that you're eating of? Are you eating of negative words? Or are you eating of positive words that you're speaking over yourself and over your circumstance? Now think about this, and this is scientifically established, that perhaps upwards of, you've heard me say this before, upwards of 70% of illness is caused by mental or emotional disorders. Some figures say up to 90% of illness can be caused by mental or emotional problems. Now, if that is the case, surely it figures that if we could get our minds healed, we could get our bodies healed. 70 to 90% of us. We've a lot to be thankful for. But are we a people of praise? A people of thanks? But verse 2, we need to remember the benefits. My soul, bless the Lord and do not forget all his benefits. You know what I find in life? I remember what I should forget and I forget what I should remember. I'm not talking about when you got your glasses in your head or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? Or where your keys are. I remember what I should forget. I forget what I should remember. And in fact, in verse 14 of this psalm, we didn't read it. It says, for he, that is God, knows what we're made of. He remembers we're frame and we're made of dust. Sometimes we forget that. Some of you that are working yourselves into the ground and living for mammon forget that you're dust. Some of you who are even serving the Lord, supposedly in the power of the flesh, and you're burnt out, and I've been there, you're forgetting what you should remember. You're a human being. God made you not as a machine or not a superman or superwoman. He made you as someone who needs rest. He made you as someone who needs food, needs recuperation, needs friends, needs community. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. But we forget what we should remember and remember what we should forget. We as human beings are negatively defaulted. Do you know what that means? You know when something goes wrong with your phone and it says reset to factory settings and it goes back to default? It wipes everything that you've put on and goes back to the way it was made. When we fell into sin, we became negatively defaulted. That means we are always going to lean more towards the negative, so we have to actively choose to remember the benefits that God has given in our lives. In other words, we have to kind of swim against the tide. That's why we have communion. That's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We are forgetful even of the most precious things. Jesus shed his blood for our sins, died on the cross, and we forget. So he says, you better do this to remind yourselves. Because our natural default is negative. That's why we have to remember these benefits. Now, what are the benefits? I'm going to give you six very quickly. First of all, verse 3, first benefit, he forgives all your iniquity. That's just a fancy word for sin. The first benefit is the forgiveness of all sins. What? Jesus said in Matthew 12, 31, now I want you to hear this. Concentrate on me tonight. Jesus said all kinds of sin and blasphemy will be forgiven of men. Did you hear that? All kinds of sin and blasphemy will be forgiven of men. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, there are people in this meeting tonight, and some of your past sins still trouble you. Yeah? Sometimes we call them skeletons in the cupboard. You've got guilt and shame. It's already been alluded to. Something that you have done. Something that has been done to you. And you would give anything for peace of mind and peace of heart. I'm here to tell you the benefit of belonging to Jesus Christ is this. You have peace through the blood of his cross. Peace of mind. Peace of heart. How does that happen? The cross. Colossians 2 verse 14 says, on the cross, God erased the certificate of debt with its obligations. Let me explain what that is. You know the Ten Commandments. Those are the rules. And every single one of us have broken those rules. So we're in debt because we've broken those rules. We're in debt to the obligations. We're all sinners. So there's like a certificate accusing us of the wrong that we've done. It's against us. It opposes us. But it says in Colossians 2 verse 14, Jesus took that certificate and he nailed it to his cross. In other words, he became our guilt and our shame and he paid our debt. That's why when he died on the cross, he said these words, tetelestai, which is what they stamped on a bill that was paid in those days. Paid in full is what it means. So the debt that you have because you're a sinner, and if you don't know you're a sinner tonight, I really don't know where to start there with that. But if you think you're perfect, you're in bigger trouble than the biggest sinner in the world. But if you know you're a sinner and you're not perfect and you've made a mistake, what good news? This is why the gospel is called good news. All sin. All sin. There's not. If there was one sin that could not be forgiven, we'd all be in hell. And Jesus would have wasted his blood. But he didn't. He nailed it to his cross. The old hymn says, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Do you know what that feels like, to know that your sins are taken away forever? That's the first benefit of belonging. The forgiveness of all sins. Here's the second, verse 3. He heals all your diseases. There's nothing God cannot heal in time or in eternity. Is it God's will to heal, people say? Well, you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and tell me whether it's God's will to heal. Because everywhere you look, it says in Matthew 4, 23, healing every disease and sickness among the people. That's how Jesus ministered. Did you hear it? Healing every disease and sickness among the people. So all disease, all sickness, God can heal. But not everyone is healed. We know that. Okay? That's not the same thing. God does heal in time. But he also heals in eternity. So that's why God's word can say the healing of all your diseases. Because even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead by Jesus, he died again. You know, he didn't live on forever. So he died, and he died of something. But in our Christian creeds, we say we believe in the resurrection of the body. Amen? Because Jesus lives, we shall live also. And 1 Corinthians 15 says, this perishable shall put on imperishable. This mortal shall put on immortality. And even if we're not healed in this lifetime, Jesus is coming again. And for those who believe in him, he's going to change our vile bodies. to be like His glorious body. And He's going to take us to a heaven where Revelation 21:4 says, He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. Because He heals all diseases. And if you don't get your healing tonight, and I believe people will get their healing tonight, but if you don't, and if others don't, the greatest healing of all is knowing that you have your sins forgiven. You're belonging to God the Father. And when you're living on this earth, you're with Christ, but to die is to depart and be with Him, which is far better. Because He heals all our diseases. He forgives all our sins. Here's the third thing, verse 4. He redeems your life from the pit or destruction. What is destroying your life tonight? Come on now. What's destroying your life? Jesus talked about two roads, two ways. He said there's a narrow way and you have to press in through that way because not everybody goes that way. And then there's a broad road and most people are on that road and it leads to destruction. What is it destroying your life? What do you need to be redeemed from? Do you know what the word redemption means? They used to use it more years ago. But you can still do it in the pawn shop. You can redeem what you put in or whatever. But it comes from Egypt. God's people were slaves in Egypt. And the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice at Passover, redeemed them. And they were delivered through the Red Sea and went to the Promised Land. So the idea is being bought out of slavery. There's a wonderful story in the Bible in the prophet Hosea in the Old Testament. He was told to go and marry a prostitute. Imagine God telling you to do that. Go and marry a prostitute. And he married her. And he had children to her. And then she went back to her old trade of prostitution. And then she was taken into slavery. And you know what God told that man to do? Go and buy her back. And God was using that prophet to show how his heart was broken because of the prostitution of his people to other gods, idolatry and their sins. But what he was showing even in the Old Testament was his heart of love and compassion towards those who are wayward. So whatever it is tonight that is causing your destruction, the Lord is able to redeem you. That's the benefit of belonging. If you'll come to Christ tonight, He'll redeem you from destruction. And maybe destruction has been following you like a wake behind you, you know, like a wake of a boat. Destruction has been on your tail everywhere you go. Maybe you feel cursed. The Lord Jesus can redeem you from that if you belong to Him. Forgiveness of all sins, the healing of all diseases, redemption from destruction. Verse 4, the second part, He crowns you with faithful love. Never failing love is one of the benefits of belonging. Never failing love. The Hebrew word is chesed. H-E-S-E-D if we put it into our letters. Chesed. It's variously translated in English. Love. Loyalty. Mercy. Kindness. Faithfulness. Compassion. Trustworthiness. Ever enduring. It literally means He'll never let us go. Do you have that kind of love in your life? Do you? There's an old hymn called, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go. Some of you will know it. O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go. I rest my weary soul in Thee. I give Thee back the life I owe, that in its ocean depths its flow may richer, fairer be. It's a beautiful hymn. It was written by a Scottish Presbyterian called George Matheson from Glasgow. But a lot of people don't realize that he wrote that hymn in about 5 minutes straight on the eve of his sister's wedding. And he was very despondent and depressed because he was being triggered, thinking of his sister getting married the next morning, by 20 years previous when he was engaged to be married. And unfortunately, he had been diagnosed as going blind. And he told his fiancée he was going blind. And this is what she said. I do not want to be the wife of a blind man. And with that, they parted. If you know the hymn, it's a celebration of God's love. There's images of joy coming from pain, rainbows from rain, blossoms from dry ground. And it's about putting our hope in Jesus, whose love will never let us go. Do you have that? come on now, do you? If you ever doubt it, you just need to look at the cross and see Jesus' arms outstretched wide to embrace you. That's how God has demonstrated his love toward you. Never doubt the love of God. Look at this psalm. Look at verse 10 through the 13. Wonderful words. God has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love. That's the chesed of God, the unfailing love of God toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know that unfailing love of God? Here's the fifth thing. Verse 5, satisfaction. He satisfies you with good things. I can't get no sad. That's bad, isn't it? Mind you, it's not that bad, but if you hear those boys singing this weather, the Rolling Stones still haven't got satisfaction. And are they idiot? I mean, and they still haven't got satisfaction. Here it says, he satisfies you with good things. You know what Proverbs 30, verse 15, 16 says? Listen to this. The leech has two daughters. Give, give. Three things are never satisfied. Four never say enough. Here's the four things that the wise man says never say enough. The grave. The grave's always taking. The undertaker's never out of business, isn't that right? The grave never says enough. The childless womb is always crying out for fruit. The earth, which is never satisfied with water, the parched earth. When does the earth ever have enough water? Even in Ireland, it never has enough water. And fire, which never says enough. Fire consumes everything. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not satisfied. One more drink. One more sexual conquest. Just earn one more grand. One more trophy. Acquire one more degree. Gain one more promotion. Receive one more title. Write one more bestseller. Produce one more hit record. Doesn't matter how high up the ladder you are. Just one more. Jesus Christ, and knowing God as your Father, is the only way to be satisfied, because that's what you were made for. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He who feeds on me will never hunger. I am the water of life. Whoever drinks of me will never thirst again. That's it. It's what everybody's looking for. And sixth, what are the six things? The forgiveness of all sin, the healing of all disease, redemption from destruction, never failing love, satisfaction, and sixth and final, new life. Verse 5, he satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. That's eternal life. Do you know whose life it is? It's God's life, his very own life. He comes to live within you. Is God living in you? Is he? And listen, it's guaranteed. It's not, well, I'm not sure, I hope so. That's not what we're talking about here. 1 John 5, 13 says, John the Apostle says, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You let that word sink into your consciousness tonight, into your soul. You can know that you have eternal life. You know why? The benefits of belonging. Do you know Jesus is the benefit? He is the benefit because he's the life. Jesus said, I am the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you see the benefits of belonging? It's amazing, isn't it? I think it's around 9 times in this psalm, there's the word all. I'll not go through them all. But there's at least 9 times the word all is mentioned. And really what it's saying to us is, God has given us all for us. All of these benefits, all of these blessings. The question is, will you not give your all to Him? Let's pray. Now let's just take a few moments. And I know some of you are here for healing prayer, and that's wonderful. And the team will be out at the front in a moment or two. Fantastic folk who pray with people regularly, and the Lord uses them. And you'll be able to avail of that, whatever your need is that you've come here with. And I say this, I'm not being funny, but even if you don't believe God, you're very welcome to come out and get prayer. Because that's happened on a time or two. Somebody that doesn't believe in God got prayer, got healed, and then all of a sudden did believe in God. And so that might be your experience. And what have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? So there'll be prayer afterwards. And if you feel the oppression of the devil on your mind or in your emotions as well, there's mental, emotional healing prayer too. And it's not just physical problems either. But take to heart what I said about how the mind can affect the physical, the physiological. And we received a prophetic word from someone in the gathering here to say that they believed we were coming into a season where people would be experiencing a lot of healing and a lot of release in the area of mental oppression, specifically around the area of fear. And also someone here tonight who feels hopeless, who feels despairing, and Emma Jane was speaking to that type of person as well. We believe the Lord wants to touch you tonight. And we've had various words from people that indicate the Lord really, we believe we know He always wants to move, but we're really sensing tonight that He's setting some people up for blessings and the benefits of belonging to Him this evening. If you will take that up by simple faith. I just want to give an opportunity, if there's anyone, and if we could bow our heads, close our eyes for a moment, just to respect people around us. But is there anyone here tonight, and you don't know this belonging that I'm talking about, knowing God as your Father, Jesus as your Savior, God living in you, knowing all your sins forgiven? You don't know that. You don't know the satisfaction. You don't know what it is to be redeemed from destruction. Your life's wasting away. It's like water going through your fingers. And you don't know what to do, but you've heard the gospel of good news tonight, and you want Jesus as your Savior, you want God as your Father, you want to trust Him tonight. Just where you're sitting, and nobody's going to see this, only me, I'll acknowledge it, you can put your hand down, but would you raise your hand to say, I just want to say, I need this. I need forgiveness, and God bless you. Is there anyone else? Just where you're sitting, slip your hand up in the air, high enough for me to see. And I'll lead you in a prayer just between you and God quietly. Is there anyone else? There might not be anyone else in the building. Someone has indicated their need of forgiveness. Is there anyone else? Now maybe you don't. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else? Now, you don't have to put your hand up, okay? There's nothing in the Bible says you have to put your hand up. But it's just an indication that you want Christ. So you can do this from your heart. As I'm praying with these people, you can recite this prayer. And it's not a magic spell, okay? It's the faith in your heart to believe what God has said to you tonight, that you'll embrace it with your heart. That's what you're doing in prayer. Prayer is just the means to do it, okay? It's the vehicle. But it has to be your heart saying, I'm going to choose to believe that God is as good as this. I'm going to choose to believe that He'll be my Father, that He'll be my Savior. Will you come to Him tonight and pray this prayer, those people who indicated their need? Just say this, Father, I come to You. Just between you and God from your heart, I come to You in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess I'm a sinner, and I turn from my sin to You for mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse me of my sin because Jesus died for me. I confess Him as Lord of my life, and I surrender to Him. And I ask You now to fill me full of the Holy Spirit, that I may live a life that is pleasing to You. Amen. And if you've done that, will you tell somebody that brought you, or a friend or someone. And if you need to do that, come out and get help from other people. I'll be hovering around the prayer team. They'd love to lead you to Jesus. Let's keep in the attitude of prayer. We're not finished yet. Is there any backslider? You know, we call people backsliders who maybe walked with Jesus but have gone afar off. And maybe you're the person that thinks you burned your bridges, like David who murdered, like David who committed adultery. And you think too much water's gone under the bridge and there's no road back. Dispel the lie. Remember, he heals all your diseases and forgives all your sins. Is there any backslider that you put your hand up tonight and say, I'm coming home to Jesus because I know this. There's no sin too big for him to forgive. There's a wrestle going on with you. Will you put your hand up and say, I'm coming home tonight. I'm going to confess my sins and deal with this and get right with God. Put your hand up where you are. Just where you are. Is there anyone? Now, before we go on any further, and Joe's going to lead us in a song, is there anyone who needs healing? You don't need to put your hand up. But anybody who needs healing, I want you to pray now to the Lord yourself and say, Lord, on the basis of your word that you heal all our diseases and you redeem us from destruction, would you heal me and would you redeem me? Would you heal me of, you tell him what it is, and would you ask him to redeem, set you free from the bondage, whatever that bondage is that you're in tonight? I'm going to pray for you now, and then you'll have an opportunity to come for prayer afterwards. But please do that. Please do that, especially if you sense the Lord working in your life tonight. Lord, I thank you that you are a healer, Jehovah Rapha, and the Lord Jesus is the great physician who heals the sick and the lost he came to save. Thank you that he's redeemed us from the grips of hell and the devil by his precious blood. Thank you that we are preaching a complete message. And I pray for the fullness of life, overflowing, abundant life, cups overflowing tonight for the glory of Jesus in this place. And I speak the healing of Christ over those who are sick, those who are ill, those who are mentally, emotionally oppressed and in bondage. We speak the freedom of Christ. Be healed, be set free in Jesus' name. Be loosed in the name of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And we speak the healing of Jesus over minds, the healing of Jesus over bodies, the healing of Jesus over souls. We pray for those who are still struggling in the balance of decision around their own salvation. And we pray tonight that, Lord, you'll win out. You'll melt them with your love. You never force anybody into the kingdom, but melt their heart with your great love, we pray. But we give you all the glory. Thank you for the benefits, Lord. We're not in it for the benefits. We're in it to belong. But oh, what benefits there are. And we praise you for them. And may we live in the benefits. Amen. And give you all the glory. And may we all be able to say here tonight, bless the Lord, O my soul. Say it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen.